All right, Brother Roger.
Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this day that you set aside. Thank you for bringing us to this class where we can learn and take in your word. Help us to take it in, make it a part of who we are, and apply it during this week. Guide us and direct us in all that we say and do. And I pray for all the people that are experiencing hardship due to the weather in the Philippines and Vietnam. In your name, amen.
Amen. I've been teaching a little bit of etymology in Hebrew and Greek and also in English. And I just put a word up here. Acrimonious.
Want to argue about it?
Huh? Huh?
Want to argue about it?
Argue about it? Debate about it? Debate? All right. Acrimonious. Acrimonious. It's made up of different words. Acre is Latin. Acre. All right. Acre. Acre. And that means abounding in a state of being bitter. Acrimonious. And that's what we're talking about tonight with Pharaoh. He was abounding in a state of bitterness. Acrimonious. Alright? He was acrid and acrimonious, abounding in a state of bitterness. And God was trying to reach him. How many penal plagues were there? Penal. Penal means what? Corrective. Corrective. He had how many? 9 penal plagues. Okay? 9 penal plagues to correct him, to spank him up, to make him mine. When you have children, you spank children to make them mine. That's why you do it. Not to be mean. You don't get mad at a child in spanking, but you spank a child, you correct them, and that's what God was doing. He was spanking Pharaoh, spanking him up. A pedagogue. The word pais means a spanking child, a child that's old enough to correct, to train. Okay? And it didn't work with Pharaoh, did it? I went to school, and I was actually related by marriage to this guy. He was a horrible person. No matter what they did to him, he did not correct. He did not correct. Just didn't. I remember when I was going to high school, when I went down to the bus stop to catch the bus, every day, Darryl Pendergraft was his name. Here come Darryl Pendergraft, sneaking up on me. He liable hit me with a board or two before or anything. And, of course, we'd have a fight, and I'd beat him up, because I was a lot stronger than he was. I'd stomp him in the ground. This happened every day. It wasn't just once. I stomped him in the ground, and the next day, I was going to have to do it again. He grew up. Finally, one time he was coming down from Tachibi with a friend, another friend that I knew. And he said, "I think I'll just kill you." And he pulled out a Colt 45, model 1911. You know, like they used in the service in World War I and II. And he pulled his gun on this guy and he said, "I think I'll just kill you." He said, "Why don't you do the world a favor and just blow your brains out?" So he said, "That's a good idea." And shot himself in the head. Well, they took him to the hospital. I don't know why. Took him to the hospital. He come and bothered me when I was at a service station, and he'd kick at me, he'd do everything. And this, now we're grown. He's still nuts. No, he didn't die. He walked around with a hole in his head, you know. I mean, this is crazy. Acrimonious. Like Pharaoh, okay? Anyway, he came to the service station one time. And I was standing there, I was cleaning something like this, and he was kicking at me like that. I said, Daryl, leave me alone. Go away. I am busy. Go on and bother somebody else someplace. Like that. And he kept kicking at me, and I said, I'm going to work you over. He kicked at me one time, and I just stuck the knife right down there where his leg was. And he kicked himself right into the knife. I stuck the knife blade in about that deep in his leg. And I said, go bleed someplace else. You know. And finally, he got drunk and went to Taft and went out there raising Cain out there. And on the way back, he killed himself in a car wreck and about four other people. Violent, crazy, sociopathic people. Acrimonious. There are abounding in bitterness all through their lives. Well, we have Pharaoh. It didn't do God any good to beat him up. Now, in these verses, we're going to see that God begins to work on him. He's going to make him, he's going to confirm, he's going to put the icing on the cake on Pharaoh. The icing on the cake. Remember what the gods were? Remember what the different gods were? That God, this is the battle of the gods here. Remember what the gods were? Noom, Gnoom, and Hopi. Noom and Hopi were what?
Nile.
The Nile. Noom was the guardian of the Nile, and Hopi was the spirit of the Nile. Okay? And we had also, one of the titles of Satan in Isaiah is what? One of the titles. We studied that this morning. What's one of the titles of Satan? Leviathan. Leviathan is one of the titles of Satan. Okay? And of course, Leviathan is that female snake, or sea serpent, or dragon that's over the deep of the waters. That's what causes all the shipwrecks and everything. Okay? And the very first miracle that Aaron performed in Egypt, it was a contest between God's Leviathan and Satan as Leviathan. And that's when the rods were thrown down. And God overcame them. He was more powerful than Noom and Hopi and Leviathan as he struck down the Nile River. Then we had the plague of frogs. Remember what the frog was a representative of? What was the frog representative of? See, this is review. First few minutes of every class should be review. So you might find out what you did learn last week. Huh? That means whisper, yes. Frog means whisper, to croak, to dance. Huh? Resurrection, Anastasia. Anastasia, the resurrection. That was the god of the resurrection, okay? Egypt was full of graves looking forward to the resurrection. They sent all of their material goods with them. I mean, you don't take anything to the grave, but they did. Okay? And that was Hecht. All right? And he took the form of a frog. And then we have Apis, which is the form of a bull god. And we have Imhotep, which is the god of medicine. All right, with the plague of boils. We have Nut, which was the goddess of the sky. And we have Zeth, which was supposed to protect the crops. Okay? And then we have Re, Aten, Atum, and Horus, which are sun gods. And of course, God brought the plague of darkness upon Pharaoh. And of course, the last one is Osiris, the god of all life, the god of conception and everything. And that's when he brought the plague of the firstborn. Now we're going to go back and look at this. Well, we go up here so far. We're in 8 and 14 right now, 8 and 14. He is, old Pharaoh, as acrimonious. He is sharp and he is bitter. And the more God plagues him, the more sharper and the more bitter he becomes. All right. Wayasu. Ken. Ha cha tu mim. Bilats hem. Li hotsi. Et. Ha kenim. Wilo. Yakulu. Watihi. Ha-kinam, Ba-adam, Yuvi-behemah. Yuva-behemah. All right. And they kept on doing thusly, just according to the scribes, the educated ones, actually the word scribe means the engravers. These are the people that engraved everything on the tombs of Egypt. They're the ones that took the tombs and they engraved all of the prayers and everything. So these are spiritual leaders. The engravers. And their dark and secret arts. Look at this word dark and secret arts there. That comes from Lot. Look at that word Lot. This is the root of it. Lot. Look at that. Lot. Lot. Was there a guy's name in the Bible, Lot? His name meant dark and secret. Dark and secret. Look at this lament. The lament is what? What does the lament stand for? What is it? Just go back and look at this. What is lament? What is it? What is the idea of lament?
I know it's a preposition too, but that's not what
it is. Yeah, it's also a preposition too, page 515. And Brown Driver Briggs, okay? All right. But lament, that's a whip. That's a whip. All right. And this teth is what? All right. Always in biblical Hebrew, it's got a head, a snake of a head on it. See? And it's curled up, ready to strike. The teth is a figure of a snake. All right. Lot. Look at that. Lot. And their dark and secret arts from the dark side. This is what you call black magic. What we call black magic. To bring forth, now here we have to bring forth, look at that lament on the front of it, that kind of, but that's in the infinitive, okay? And it is an infinitive construct, page 422 and 425. Now if you go back in Brown, Driver, and Briggs over there, and you look at Lot, that's on page 532. If you go over there, it'll tell you everything about the word Lot, the root of that. To bring forth, infinitive construct, to bring forth the gnats. Look at that word, gnats. Let's look at these, 487. Let's go to page 487 and see what it says about gnats here. 487. All right. Gnats. What's the root of that word there? Kanim, kanim, kanam. Kanam is the root of it. We have a definite article in front of it. Ha kanam. Ha kanam. Kanam. All right? Kanam. All right? Here it says, can. Gnats. All right? Gnats. Gnat, gnats, gnat swarm, swarms of gnats. It also can mean maggots. It also can mean lice. Now remember the idea, I want you to remember the philosophy of the Egyptians. What was the philosophy of the Egyptians? What kind of character were they? What was their most important thing in their life? Being clean. They didn't want any lice on them. They didn't want any hair on them. They would either pull all of their hair out or they would shave it off their body because they didn't want any debris of filth on them at all, and they would take baths several times a day. Now, look and see what flies do. What do flies do? They bite you and they lay on you and they poop on you. They do whatever. And lice, what do they do? They crawl around on your body, and they had completely cleaned their body of hair so lice could not hide in their hair. Okay? So look at what's happening here. The Egyptian plague in 8 and verse 12. Swarm.
whether this was lice or whether it was some kind of vermin called matu. Vermin. Okay? Vermin. Louse. Swarms. Armies of gnats. How many of you ever had a gnat in your ear? I remember one time I was working in the service station, same place where that guy was kept pestering me. I was out there and we had lights in the summertime and bugs were all out, and one of those gnats flew in my ear, and I thought it was a 747 jet inside of my head. I had to go pour water in my ear to get it shut up. Went out there and took a glass and kept pouring water in there until it filled my ear up and drowned that rascal. A gnat. And it says, they did with their secret arts to bring forth the gnats, and not, they were able. And look at this word, yakulu, third person, construct plural, cal perfect. Not they had been able to. Not could they do this. And this word here in Hebrew, in Greek, would be dynamis. They were not powerful enough to do this. And she became the gnats in mankind and in large animals too. That Yuvah Behemah. That's a large animal. What kind of large animals are they? What kind of animals would this be?
Like an ox.
An ox. What else? A horse. Okay. A draft horse. What else? Yes, camels. What else? We're in Africa now. What else do they have over there?
Elephants.
And their elephants were there. You know, we find out that even Jacob and Esau had elephants. You know, you never see that in the movies, but they had elephants. Okay? They had elephants. So these were all kinds of large beasts, and they became, and it says, and she became, third person feminine, singular, Watihi. And she became the gnats in mankind, Ba Adam, and in these large beasts. Okay? And Pharaoh's people could not do this. Why couldn't Pharaoh's people? By the way, where were all the gnats and lice eggs? In the dust. In the dust of the ground. That's where they were. What happened with all the frogs? God caused every tadpole to hatch and become a frog. Not one egg was lost. He caused all of these to multiply. And of course, they did that too. But now, when it comes to these lice, and I know, I've heard preachers preach this, that they couldn't create life. That's why they couldn't do this. But that's not what happened here. What happened? What happened? What was God doing? He was fighting all of their gods, wasn't he? And here we have Jannes and Jambres, which are Balaam's sons. They're fighting with Aaron and Moses and standing against God all the time. And God finally says, no more with you boys. No more. Whatever you do, I'm going to stop. I'm going to prohibit you from doing any more miracles. No more. You're finished. He didn't create anything with creating the lice or the gnats, whatever they were. What he did is prohibit them from doing that, from prohibiting them. Can Satan, can he create life? Huh? Yeah. He does, doesn't he? Did the angels create life in the Nephilim? Yes. In the book of Revelation, we know that a statue was built. And we know that Satan turns an inanimate object into a living object in the book of Revelation. And all the world just wonders after him, it says. Because he makes it talk and walk and be alive. He gives it life. Can he raise the dead? Well, somebody over there was killed in the book of Revelation. One of his prophets was killed. And what did Satan do? He raised him from the dead. And all the world, it says, wondered after him. By the way, all the world, that's a hyperbole. What's a hyperbole? an exaggeration. All the world didn't. A whole lot of it did. Okay, that's what we call an exaggeration to emphasize how many. Okay, how many had wandered after him. All right, so now we have God prohibiting any more of Satan's powers. Is God going to cut Satan off over here, finally at the end? He's going to have a lot of power, and the world is going to be wandering after him, and he's going to have a lot of worshipers for a short time, and even his child, the Antichrist, even his child, the Antichrist, will be worshipped, and Satan will be worshipped through him. Right? Satan will be worshipped through him. If you worship Jesus, do you worship God? If you worship the Antichrist, will you worship Satan? Satan. What does Satan mean, by the way? What does it mean? What does Satan mean? In Greek, it's like this in Greek. That means to stand against. Now, the word Satan, what language does that come from? What language does Satan come from? Chaldean. It's Chaldee. It's Chaldee and then in the Hebrew. The word paradise comes from Chaldee and in the Hebrew. The word amen comes from Chaldee and then in the Hebrew. All right, we see these words, but the word Satan means to stand against. And Iblis, what language is that from? For the old word Satan. Satan is on the scene here, but God is saying that I am more powerful than Satan. Iblis means what?
It's a slandering whisperer, and it comes from Arabic.
Arabic. The slandering whisperer. And that's what we get. See, Satan is Leviathan. Satan is Nahash. All right? Satan is all of these things. He's called the dragon. He's called the poor woman in Acts 16, chapter verse 16, was possessed by the spirit of Satan, the great Pithonah, the python, or the snake. He's called the snake of old. 8 and verse 15 now. Wayomaru Hachatumim El Peiro Esba Elohim He Wayichesak Lev Peiro Wilo Shama Alihim Ka'asher Deber Hadavar. And the engravers. Just get that idea. These were the spiritual engravers. These are the ones that put the prayers of the gods on the tombs. Alright? The engravers. By the way, who was probably doing all of the metalwork, the gold and silver smithing on these tombs? Levi's children. Levi's, the tribe of Levi. They were goldsmiths and silversmiths. Okay? The scribes are engravers unto Pharaoh. These are Jannes and Jambres. This is old Balaam. Balaam hung around for a long time, didn't he? Long time. And then it says Esteban. All right, Esteban means forefinger. It means to dip the hand. It means to measure. Back in these days, you know, when they were measuring cloth, guess how? They didn't have rulers, did they? How did they measure cloth? By their fingers. That's a cubit. That's a cubit. That's another. That's basically 18 inches. Was that? That's what a cubit was. But they measured cloth by their fingers. And that's what it means to measure by a finger. All right. This is the finger. This is the forefinger of God, it says, of Elohim. God is measuring this out to us. That's what they said. God is measuring this out to us. Like we would, I don't know how long my forefinger there is. It's not very long, but what about 3.5 inches or something like that? And of course, people's fingers, but they would measure by their fingers. And they said, this is the measure of God. the measure of the Creator. The word Elohim there means Creator. It's not just God. Every nation has a Elohim, a Creator. They all have this idea of creation. The Babylonians had the idea that Elohim created a chaos. And then out of that chaos, he began to form matter and things. Okay? And there's where you get the evolution, the idea of evolution. That's where you get this young earth theory. This is where you, this come from Catholicism. Okay? It came from Catholicism, and Catholicism borrowed it from the Babylonian idea of creation. Go read that book, The Creation of Heavens, the Earth, on the front of my website by J. Lewis Guthrie, and he'll tell you the whole history of that. It comes from Chaldee. It means fingers and toes. And Daniel 2, 41 and 42. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel. The book of Daniel. Daniel is written in Chaldee, and it's written in Hebrew, isn't it? Daniel. Now here is a parable, a symbol, talking about Rome here. And this is the word. This is where the word comes from. It's Chaldean word. And there will be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. So the like iron that breaks into pieces will crush and break all these things in pieces. And that you saw the feet and the toes. See that word feet and toes? The word toes is that word. Toe or finger. And partly of potter's clay and partly of iron will be divided in the kingdom. There will be toughness of iron inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly pottery. See, this is what it's talking about. This is the same root. And this is Chaldee here. This is Chaldee. What else? Okay, Daniel 5. Daniel the 5th chapter. Now go to the Daniel the 5th chapter. Daniel chapter 5. I know I got it in here somewhere. Daniel 5. All right. And Belshazzar the king held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. These were princes. These are the people that are under him over all the different areas. And he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels from Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which is in Jerusalem. Now, what is this? What is he doing here? What's Belshazzar doing? He's insulting Jehovah. And Jehovah is listening. You're not going to do anything outside of God, okay? You're not going to get away from it. You can't run from it. And Belshazzar is insulting Jehovah, and Jehovah hears. Taken out of the temple which is Jerusalem in order the king and his nobles, and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. And they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple in the house of God which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank from them. And they drank the wine and praised the gods. Look at this. The gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and stone. Now they're singing praises. They are singing praises to the pagan gods and using God's utensils out of his kingdom in the process. They're making toast and singing praises as they drink these toasts. Suddenly, what's it say there? The fingers of a man's hand. This is Chaldee now. Emerged and began writing opposite. Can you imagine that? Boy, when I used to stand in front of a blackboard, you could hear that. You could put your fingernails up there and hear it scratching, 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 scratching on the wall. Scratching, scratching. That's what they heard. The scratching. Remember what the frog did? What was one of the names? What was one of the meanings of the word frog? To scratch and to claw. Okay. To claw. Clawing, clawing. And they heard this scratching on the wall. They saw the fingers of a man's hand. And it means, this finger means to measure, doesn't it? And Merson began writing opposite the lampstand and the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Boy, how many of you remember the horror movie called The Hand, crawling along on the floor? This is what's going on here. Measured. And the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts were alarmed. And his hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. How many of you ever had that happen? Over in Vietnam, did your knees ever knock, brother, sometimes? How many of you ever gone up 100 feet in the air? Did your knees knock the first time?
Every time.
Every time. Did you ever see something that you were so afraid of that your knees knocked together? That means your joint, your hips are slack. And the king called aloud to bring in the what? The magicians, the conjurers, those that dealt with secret arts. Here again, God. I mean, we already did this back in Egypt now. Now they're going to do it back in Babylon many, many years later, hundreds of years later. And the Chaldeans and the diviners, and the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, any man can read this inscription and explain the interpretation. Let's go down there and find out what he scratched out. Verse number 11, there is a man in your kingdom whom the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, your grandfather, illumination and insight and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians and conjurers and Chaldeans and diviners. All right, now Daniel comes on the scene. He's one of the exiles from Judah. And old Belshazzar says, now I've heard that the spirit of the gods is in you. Of course, what kind of gods was he talking about? That's little g. All right? That illumination and insight. He goes on down. And it's, what do you want to get? I'll give you anything. I'll give you a necklace of gold. I'll give you all kinds of stuff. I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom. And Daniel answered and said to him, keep your stuff. Keep your stuff. Keep your gifts for yourself. Or give rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the most high God. Who's the most high God? What is his name, by the way? Who is the most high God? Huh? Elohim, El Shaddai. The all-powerful one, El Shaddai. The most high God. God granted sovereignty and grandeur and glory and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather. Basically, they didn't have the word for grandfather, but that's what it's talking about here. And because the grandeur which he bestowed on him and all the peoples and nations, men of every language, feared and trembled before him, wherever he wished to be killed, he killed, and whoever he wished to spare, he spared alive. Whoever he wished to exalt, he elevated, and whoever he wished to humble, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was disposed from the royal throne and was taken away from him. And he lived out there in the wonders of the ancient world, which was what? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And it was a park, a paradise, which means, what's paradise mean? A guarded pleasure park. And that's what the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were, the guarded pleasure park. And he said he went out there and he ate with the beasts. He ate in the zoo with the zoo animals. He became one of his animals in the zoo. Like the beast in the dwelling place was in his wild, the donkeys, and he was given grass to eat like all the cattle. And his body was drenched with the brew of heaven until he was recognized that the Most High God is ruler over all the realm of mankind that he sits upon. Then he goes down to verse number 24. Then the hand was sent from him, and his inscription was written out. Now, this is the inscription that was written. Many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. All right? Many. God has numbered. That means numbered. That's what that means, to measure out. That's the finger right there. That's the digit. That is the numbering. That is the measuring. Many, many, Tekel, you have been weighed. Tekel means to weigh. Eupharson comes from Peres. Pharisee means what? In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. It means divided. Your kingdom has been divided. All right? And guess what the next thing he did was? He dirtied his pants. Because when they came in upon him, he lost all control over his bowels. And he was killed. Pharaoh. Before this, we already have an example of God fighting an arrogant ruler. One that is acrimonious. The more God whips him, the sharper, the more wicked he becomes. All right? Let's look at it. And they said, the scribes and the engravers unto Pharaoh, the finger, the four digit, the measurement of God. And was hard. All right? And kept on being hard, the heart of Pharaoh. He kept on making his heart hard and strong. And strong, Pharaoh. And not he obeyed. Look at that word, Shema. Here we get the word Simeon from this word. Not he listened unto them. Just as Ka'eshur, just as he had spoken Halabar, or the word, or Jehovah. Jehovah had already predicted that this was going to happen, didn't he? This was what we call history written before it happens. Future perfect. 8 and 16, Wayomer. Halabar. El Moshe. Hashkem. Ba-ba-kor. We hit Yatsibu. What Sev, that is. We hit Yatsiv. Lifne, Peiro, Hene, Yotsi, Ha-ma-yi-ma. We Amarta, Elal, Ko, Amair, Hadabar, Shalah, Ami, we Yaav Duni. Now, in places in the manuscript here that I've written, I put down little, like a G, an A, a B, or C, or D, or E, F, or something like that. That means that there is a difference in the manuscripts, okay? Wayomer. And he said, third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah, unto Moses, rise up early, Hashkem, Baboker, Baboker, Baboker. What's that mean?
Break the ground.
In the break of daylight, in the very break of daylight, right when the sun is coming up, daylight is breaking. That's what it means, daybreak. It means daybreak, daylight. And stand, and keep on standing. Before the face of, to his face, a Pharaoh. Hene, behold. He's about to go out to the waters. Ha Mayima. He's about to go out to the waters. What waters? The Nile River. He's about to go out and worship one of his gods. Now, God already showed him that he was stronger than the Nile River. He was stronger than Noom. He was stronger than Hopi. Already. But he's still worshiping the wrong gods, isn't he? It's like being in a false religion. They hold on to you anyway, don't they? They hold on. False religions hold on to you. They don't want to turn loose. We are Marta. And you shall have said. Here we have future perfect now. You will have said. He's going to tell him what happens here. You will have said. Unto him, thusly. Says, thusly, actually, this word Amer, say Amer. Amer means third person, masculine, singular, cal perfect. All right, thus has said, literally, thus has said Jehovah. All right? Send away. And what he says here is masculine, singular, PL, imperative. You send away, and he's shouting it, Shalah, Shalah, Shalah. Send away. Ami, my family, my family. There is a something I want to read to you here. This is talking about Bene Ha'elohim. Bene Ha'elohim. What did I just say? Bene Ha'elohim. Bene Ha'elohim. The sons of God. All right, just talking about Genesis 6 and 1. Now, I want you to think about this. This is going to just shock the daylights out of you. Okay, this is a real... This is the door. Every now and then you come to a door in Scripture. Okay? It says here in it talks about the sons of God. And who are the sons of God in the book of Genesis 6 and 1? Who are they? Who do the rabbis say they are? Who does Enoch say they were? Who does Jasher say they are? They are angels. They are angels. And they come down and cohabited with women, and they brought forth a great race of monstrosities which are called Nephilim. And there were Nephilim before the flood, and there are Nephilim after the flood. Satan is still trying to build his forces up. These rabbis say that every Nephilim that is born in this world, it has a human body for a while. But it's great and powerful. It's somewhat supernatural. That's why Goliath taunted. He taunted Israel. And they were afraid to go out because he was a supernatural being. Okay? He was powerful. He was big. Every time you see angels in the Bible, they're big, aren't they? Big. They look like men, but they're big. What's a cherubim? A winged angel, all right? We're not talking about winged angels here. We're talking about just angels that look like mankind. All right? The phrase Ben Ha'elohim is variant, and Ben Elim is found in Job 1 and 6 and 2 and 1. It says, sons of God assemble before God. These are the angels of heaven, sons of God assembling before Him. Job 38 says that the sons of God have been with Jehovah in all the creation, before the creation of the world. And they appear in Psalm 89, verse 7. And Jehovah is proclaimed incomparable to all other gods, little gods. In Psalm 29:1, Bene Elohim sing praises to Jehovah. These are the sons of God. These are all angels. Okay. And Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8 reads that when the Most High God apportioned nations, when He divided the sons of man, He established the borders of peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. The weird thing about this passage is how that the borders of all the other peoples are also established. The borders of all the other lands are also established. The implications here is that the sons of God are not just present at the beginning of the world, but also figure prominently in dividing nations. Sons of God. What are the sons of God? Angels. Angels. Good angels and bad angels. Now, we live in the age, who is the God, little God of this age, of this period of time? Or world? Satan. Okay. Do you know that every one of the nations in the world has some not of God? I don't see any nation in the world led by a obedient angel today. Did you know that? But every nation is led by a fallen angel. God's nation, Israel, was led by Jehovah Himself. And the angel of Jehovah, which is what? It's Jesus. All right. The implication that the sons of God are not just present at the beginning of the world, but also figure prominently in dividing of all the nations. That implication is that while Jehovah chose Israel as His nation, each of the other sons of God also received a nation to rule over. And in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel, it tells you, especially the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, it talks about the evil angels over nations. Okay? I thought I'd just throw that one in. That's from the Babylonian Talmud. Okay? All right. On the Himsa says Jehovah, send away my people, the nation that belongs to me, my children, my family. God's family is the nation of Israel. God's son is Israel. And God is going to protect his son. He's going to protect his son. That they may serve me, that they may be my bought and paid for children and slaves. We serve the Lord when we're born again because we want to be his slaves, don't we? We want to be his servants. We want to be called good servants. All right, key. Him. Anika. Mishaliah. Et ami. Hini. Mashliah. Bika. Yuva abadika. Yuvi amika. Yuvi vatika. Sounds like poetry, doesn't it? Et. Ha ar hi arov. Yumaliu. Bate. Mitzrayim. Et. Ha arov. Wigam, Ha'adama, Asher, Him, Aliha. Because if you not sending away, look at this word, masculine, singular, PL, participle. If you're not going to be in the process of sending away my family, remember the word Ami means my family. What was the word the Ammonites? Who was the father of the Ammonites? Who's the father of the Ammonites?
Lot.
Remember what the Moabites and the Ammonites, what does it mean? The word Moabite means water from the father. In other words, sperm from the father made this child. From this daughter and her father, they had a child. That's what she said. And she was proud that my father made me have a child. Okay, so she said Moab, water from the father. And then the other daughter says, she couldn't say Moab again, but she said what? Ami, family of my family. This is family of my family, the Ammonites. And this is the word. This is God's family here. This is his own family. God has chosen them to be his family out of all the nations of the world. God has only had one nation, period. He's only had one nation. Every nation tries to claim that God is behind them. Islam. Islam, everything that they do, and all the sects of Islam say what? Allah is behind us. Allah will take care of us. We're doing the will of Allah. All right? And of course, America says, in God we trust. But really, we don't. My family. Hini, behold, I am about to be sending you away. Among you, and on your slaves, and on your family, and upon your household, your very immediate family, the biting insects, the swarms, the mites, these flies, these biters, these dog fly looking things, ha arul. How many of you have ever been out in my house and had those dairy flies bite you? You were out there. Did they want them to get you while you were there?
No. But
you were lucky. You're probably moving too fast. They'll bite the blood out of you. That's what these were. They have teeth. That's why they call them dog flies. Teeth. Something that bites. And they shall be full. They shall be full. Houses of the Egyptians, of flies. They shall be full of flies. Now God's about to teach separation here. This is this is where the old Southern Baptists, the old missionary Baptists, used to try to teach segregation. The Bible does teach segregation here. Segregation between Israel and Egypt. He separated them. But we're not talking about separation of race, the segregation of races here. I remember one of my teachers, every chance he got, he would get up there and say, "You will never teach me anything else but segregation." He said, I believe black people have souls, probably. Probably. But they shouldn't be in our churches. God teaches segregation, you know. And they use this to teach that. But that's not what it's talking about here. We're talking about spiritual segregation. Spiritual segregation. And also, Wigam, and also the ground, which them upon it. I'm going to put flies all over. If you go out there right now, at noon, and you'll see flies setting on everything, on the ground, on your car, on your... If you go out there on my antenna right now and take a cloth and rub up and down it, fly poop's going to come off on the cloth. Wherever they set, they poop. And here is what was happening to Egypt. These flies, Beelzebub didn't have any control over these flies. He's fighting Beelzebub. All right, the god, the fly god. He would take the flies, Beelzebub would, and move them out and get them away from there. He's controlling the flies. But Jehovah is more powerful than Beelzebub. Of course, you know, in the New Testament, remember when the Pharisees said that Jesus did miracles by what? Beelzebub. Beelzebub is also another word, another title of Satan. A title of Satan. Okay? By the power of Satan. And then Jesus told a parable. Can a house divided against its house? And that's what Abraham Lincoln said when we had the Civil War. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's why he said we have to have a unity. We have to have a nation. We have to have one nation. 818 now. 818. We hif leti. Bayom. Hahu. Et. Eretz. Goshen. Asher. Ami. Omed. Aliha. Levilti. Hayos. Sham. Arov, Li Ma'an, Tida, Ki, Ani, Halavar, Bekarev, Ha'aretz. Some of these verses are pretty long. They take up more than one page. We hif leti, and I shall separate. Modern Hebrew. Pay is written like this, okay? But it does not represent what the biblical Hebrew does. Why? What does the pay represent? What does it represent?
Is that like the corral or something?
No.
Oh.
What does pay represent?
Oh, the face.
Huh? What is that long thing there? This is the mouth, and that's the tongue.
Oh.
That's the mouth and that's the tongue. Pay. Filet. What does filet mean? Filet. Or pileg. Pileg would be with a dot in it. What does it mean? It means to separate or to divide. To separate or divide. Okay? All right. And I shall separate. I shall divide. Actually, what it says here now, it's first person construct, singular, hifel, wow, consecutive, perfect. And what is this? This is future perfect. I will have divided. I will have separated. Okay? This is future perfect. I will have done this. Okay? In the days of that, now we have the sign of the director objects, in the land of Goshen. What does the word Goshen mean? Remember what that one means? Goshen. That was an unusual spot. What?
It's a wet plain.
It's a wet plain, a land of rainfall, a land of mist, a land of that the prairie would have mist in it. Okay? This is the green land of Egypt, which is my people are stopping or abiding in. Masculine singular, cal participle. They're stopping there. All right, abiding there. Upon her to not become there, these biting insects. I'm going to show you that I can put a border between my people, which are my people, and your nation. Now, who's over this nation? We really realize that Satan is over this nation. Satan is over the nation. And Pharaoh is becoming acrimonious. He's becoming sharper and more bitter all the time. Instead of the corrective, the penal plagues are not working, are they? There won't be any biting insects, no dog flies. In order to that, you may be knowing. You may keep on being knowing. I want you to keep on knowing that I, Jehovah, in the middle of the land, that I'm here, that Jehovah, me, I'm here. I'm in your land, and I am the God that created all this, and I am the king of Egypt, not you. I am the king of Egypt. I am the Pharaoh of Egypt, not you, fellow. You're not the Pharaoh of Egypt. We'll do one more verse, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. One more verse. We started a little late. We'll make up by it by finishing a little bit late. We somti. Fi dut. Actually, if you want to get really into the biblical Hebrew, it's fi dut. It's got a salt. What is a hard T in Hebrew? What's a hard T?
Dot.
That one right there. That's the hard T. This, there's two T's in Hebrew. The tet
and tau.
And the tau is softer than the tet. All right? But then there is a hard tet and a soft tet also. There's three T's in Egypt, or in Hebrew. If you want to get it down, I mean, there's three of them. All right? Fidat, ben, ami. Yuvan, Amika, Li Mashar, Yeyeh, Ha'oth, Hezeh. And I shall have placed, look at this future perfect again. He's telling history before it's going to happen. I shall have placed a ransom. Look at that word, Fidat. Fidat. A ransom. A ransom. A breathing space, an interval. Look at that. In the earth, when God created the earth. Now, first of all, He created the heavens first. He created the whole cosmos, according to the Hebrew. And then He took the earth and placed it exactly in the right place in the universe to do what He wanted to do with it. Okay? That's beautiful. To me, it is. Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim. That's the universe there. We et Ha'aretz. And then He placed the earth. And He had finished this. It's done. It's completed. It's perfect. Then it says, We Ha'aretz Hatiatohu Avohu. We Oshakel Penetohum. And then the earth, she became formless and void. She became a chaos. She became destruction. And then God reconstructed it again. And when He reconstructed the earth again, here's the earth. And the first breathing space, the first interval, the breathing space is what? The atmosphere. Atmosphere. All right? Right around the earth. And then above that is what? The stars. And if you look up from the earth in any direction on the earth, you're going to see stars. And the stars will be like they're moving around because the earth is actually spinning. All right? And way out here is the other heaven. This is where God is. And probably this is where hell is. But in this area, around the earth, it's a breathing space. And what was here? What was here around the earth?
An ocean of water. An ocean in the sky. All around the earth, there's the ocean in the sky. And then people say, well, I can't believe that. But there was an ocean in the sky. What's going to hold that ocean in the sky up? In the Philippines right now, they're having what?
Typhoon.
And what is falling on the ground? What's flooding? Is God moving water through the air? He moved it in a different way. How many of you ever had a greenhouse? There's little greenhouses and big greenhouses. In there is a lot of moisture, high humidity. That's what the earth was. They didn't have to water anything. It said that there were rivers in the Garden of Eden and everything, but nothing had to be watered. It was watered because we were in a greenhouse. And not only were you in a greenhouse, you were in a controlled environment. A controlled environment. It was all the same temperature. I don't think the temperature from winter to summer changed. It was always in a greenhouse effect. And everything was always in bloom. There was fruit on that tree 12 months a year. So we didn't have winters, did we? Not like now. Things were totally different then. And people lived a long time. And they were all years. All years. Probably 360 day years, they say. 360 day years. Lunar years. Lunar years. Okay? And there will be a breathing space between my people, my family, and between your family. For tomorrow shall keep on becoming the sign, the this. Tomorrow shall keep on becoming the sign. And it's going to happen and keep on being. Now God, this is another one of these pre-announced plagues, penal plagues. We went from 8:4 to 8:19. Do you have any questions? Have any questions? Did this open some doors for you to think about tonight? Just a little bit? Pharaoh kept on becoming bitter until God finally started sharpening his heart himself. He started pounding his heart and making it stronger and stronger and stronger. Pharaoh hardened his own heart 10 times before Pharaoh went to work on him. Anything else? None? Julie, you want to come up here this time and dismiss us in prayer? Go out and do something eternal, peoples. What you do here, what you do for the Lord is going to follow you.
Father, thank you so much for letting us hear your word. And please be with us this week as we go out and help us to share your word with others. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.